What's on the docket for today? I'm Joseph. This is Input English. In today's episode, we will discuss home improvements. Of course, this discussion is not to teach you how to do home improvements. It is to provide you with interesting, comprehensible input. If you can follow this discussion in English, you will absorb the English language using our method, Comprehensible Input. If you're new to Comprehensible Input, I have a lot of videos on this channel that you can use to familiarize yourself with this method and how to use it very effectively. This channel with all these videos was created for you as a resource. I know from my experience and my reading about comprehensible input that it is the modern trend in language learning. It allows us to acquire a language intuitively so that we can more easily use it without thinking about translations and grammar rules. Well done, comprehensible input is enjoyable. It is not the chore that we had to endure when we studied grammar and vocabulary in school. I started with the question, what is on the docket? That's an expression in English that you will hear from time to time. It comes from the legal profession. The docket is the official list of cases before a court, before a judge. It's a list of the items, the tasks, the cases that will be considered by the court. However, unless you are working in the legal profession or close to it, if you hear reference to the docket, it will be the general use of that term. The general use of the term, what's on the docket, refers to the list of things that are up for discussion or consideration, tasks that need to be done, actions that need to be taken. So I could say that on my docket for today was making this video. It was something that I decided to do. It's something that was on my list of things to do. But of course, I do things other than make videos. And one of the topics that comes up on my docket frequently is home repair. So I thought we would take a few minutes today to go over home repair. This will introduce a lot of expressions and vocabulary that are relatively specific to this part of our lives. So let's start with general and move towards specific. In the United States, people live in different circumstances. There are people who live with their parents. There are people who rent an apartment or a house. Some people own their own house or apartment. And indeed, there are some people who are homeless and live either on the street or in a vehicle. For simplicity, I'm going to deal primarily with rental versus homeowner. In the United States, that will cover a majority of the population. When it comes to home repairs, someone renting an apartment has very little latitude. Most of the repairs are the responsibility of the owner of the apartment. These responsibilities are usually defined in the rental agreement. A rental agreement is a contract. The contract states what each of the parties will contribute to this exchange, including the amount of the rent, when the rent is due, and how each of the parties will conduct themselves. Most rental agreements forbid a renter from altering the apartment. It is common for rental agreements to forbid a renter from painting the apartment. Understanding that, there would be very few repairs that would be the responsibility of a renter. Changing a light bulb might be the responsibility of the renter. Changing an air filter might be the renter's responsibility. Beyond that, very little repair responsibility accrues to the renter. When one owns the apartment or owns a home, then the responsibility for repairs accrues to the owner. This is my situation. I own this house. Thus, if there is something that needs to be repaired, I need to either do it or arrange to have it done. It's an important decision to make whether one should take on a project of home repair or whether one should hire a professional to do it. Each of these choices is the right answer depending upon the specific situation. Some home repairs are very easy. They're very simple, and they are unlikely to pose major problems to the homeowner. Changing a light bulb, changing an air filter, or painting are three examples where the homeowner can easily get involved and do the task. There are other home repairs that are a little more complex and may require special tools. These repairs may require special skills. What would be examples of some of these moderately difficult tasks that a homeowner might try to accomplish by himself? Changing a light switch, changing a plumbing fixture, changing a light fixture. These are relatively simple, straightforward repairs, but they could be beyond the skills and knowledge of a homeowner. It takes judgment to determine whether one should take on a project like this or delegate it. When I was growing up, my dad did a lot of home repairs, and as I participated in that, I learned from him. During college, I worked construction. I worked with tradesmen, and during that time, I learned a lot about home repairs. So over the years, I tended to do home repairs. It is also very common for young people to have very little money, and so hiring someone to do a home repair is not as attractive if the person is trying to save money. This was the motivation for a lot of home repairs that I did over the years. I wanted to save money, so I learned the skills needed and made the repairs myself. When someone is motivated to do home repairs that are unfamiliar, there are two pitfalls that need to be guarded against. One is spending a lot of money on special tools that will only be used for this task. This takes judgment. If the repair or the renovation requires specialty tools, one needs to use judgment as to whether it is reasonable to spend that money buying those tools. Perhaps it's more cost-effective to just have someone do the job and not buy that tool. The other pitfall is doing a repair and getting into trouble, creating damage, and then having to hire a professional to do the repair but undo the damage created by the mistake. When we do home repairs, we take some risk. Sometimes the risk is very small. Changing a light bulb is not very risky unless one falls off the ladder. When I mentioned falling off a ladder, that brought to mind a big issue with home repairs, and that is safety. It would be false economy indeed to take on a home repair and then become injured, perhaps hospitalized, because of the risks inherent in that repair. I'll give you an example. Houses in the United States frequently have rain gutters. When it rains, the water hits the roof and runs off the roof, but at the edge of the roof, there is a trough running the length of the roof that collects this rainwater and channels it to a downspout and then projects it away from the house. In this house, the downspout goes into an underground tube and the water is released far below the house on the hillside. For houses that have basements, these water collection systems of gutters and downspouts are important to prevent water from pooling adjacent to the basement. If water comes off the roof and then pools in the soil adjacent to the basement, it can leach into the basement, and a leaky basement is a big problem for the homeowner. A wet basement can damage objects that are stored in the basement, and it can promote mildew, that is a fungal growth, that can destroy objects and create an unhealthy environment in the home. Homeowners with basements want dry basements, and the gutters and downspouts at the edge of the roof are important to ensure a dry basement. When one has gutters at the edge of the roof, it is important that they be kept clean. If they fill up with leaves and pine needles, perhaps small sticks, then they don't function well. They don't channel the water away from the house. So homeowners need to clean these gutters. The trouble is, if the homeowner sets up a ladder and starts cleaning the gutters, it is possible to fall off the ladder and get injured. People die every year cleaning out their gutters. A friend of mine at work fell from the ladder. He explained that he was reaching a little further each time, trying to get more leaf litter cleared out of the gutter. And rather than moving the ladder, he just kept leaning and reaching. Eventually, he leaned too far and fell off the ladder. The ladder fell and he fell. He broke a bone, was hospitalized, and couldn't work for weeks because of that injury. He risked his life, and he concluded that cleaning out his own gutters was false economy. It put him in a worse situation, missing work and having to recover from an injury, and that could have been avoided had he hired someone to clean out the gutters. So you might ask, do I clean out my own gutters or do I pay someone to do it? For now, I clean them out myself, but I learned from my friend, and I don't reach a long distance from the ladder. I want to maintain good balance. I don't want to fall. So when I am cleaning out the gutters, I position the ladder. I clean out a section that is easily within reach without leaning. Then I reposition the ladder and clean out another section. I reposition the ladder many times in order to clear the gutters on the house. I could see the wisdom of paying someone to clear the gutters out. Most homeowners in the United States are deciding whether to do home repairs or home renovations that are in that moderate category. In the late 20th century, wallpaper was very popular for decorating the walls of homes in the United States. My ex was very skilled at putting up wallpaper. She and I wallpapered a lot of rooms in the home we owned. Over time, wallpaper has become less popular, but in recent years, it appears that wallpaper is experiencing a resurgence. It is becoming more popular. We have no wallpaper in this house. We have a lot of wood paneling, like in this room, and we have plain painted walls. I like well-done wallpaper, and it requires significant skill to do it well. Badly done wallpaper looks terrible. Changing light switches is pretty straightforward. Undoing the switch plate with a screwdriver, removing the switch with a screwdriver, disconnecting and then reconnecting the wires. But it is at this stage that safety becomes an issue. In order to work on a light switch, it is necessary to turn off the power that supplies electricity to that circuit. In order to turn the power off, one goes to the circuit breaker panel. In this case, in this house, it is in the basement. And then the circuit breaker that controls that circuit is turned off. Most houses have a lot of circuit breakers, and it is not always entirely clear which circuit breaker controls a given switch. We frequently use trial and error to determine which circuit breaker needs to be turned off. That is, we turn off one or more circuit breakers, and then we check to see if that circuit is still on. We actuate the switch and see if the light, for instance, comes on. This may require several trips to the breaker box, to the control panel, turning various circuits on and off to find the one that controls that circuit. For me, once I have turned off the power for that circuit, I would like to have some assurance that the power is really off. One can buy something like this. This is a voltage tester to determine whether there is a voltage on a given wire. Before I turn off the circuit, I check the switch with this. This green light indicates no voltage. So if I apply it to my finger has no voltage, so it stays green. But if I put this tester against a wire that is energized with electricity from the power company, that light will turn red. It will also beep. So before I turn the breaker off, I test it with the expectation that one of the wires will be detected as having a voltage on it. Then I turn off that circuit, flip the switch, and the light doesn't come on. But then I apply this tester to make sure that there is no voltage applied to one of those wires. It's an extra step for safety. Additionally, one can use a device like this. This is a multimeter, and it can be used for a lot of things. One can apply this to wires to detect whether they are energized. Once the power has been turned off, it is usually very simple to undo the wires and remove the old switch. There are different kinds of switches that are commonly used in the United States and around the world. The simplest switch is a toggle switch. Toggle means on or off. It's either on or it's off. It's the simplest switch, and it's the way all the light switches were when I was growing up. The light switch was either on or off, and that was that. Usually circuits are controlled by a single switch. There are circuits with two switches, and either switch can control the light. We call that a three-way circuit. Three-way circuits require three-way switches, and the wiring is a little more complex. It is beyond the scope of this video to explain how to wire a three-way switch, but they're fairly easy to identify. In the home, a three-way switch is one of two switches that controls the circuit. Once one removes the switch and examines it, a one-way switch has two wires plus the ground. The ground is typically insulated with green insulation. The ground is for safety. A one-way switch has two additional wires with the ground. A three-way switch has the ground and three wires. It is important when working on three-way switches to understand how the circuit is constructed so that the proper connection is made with these three-way switches. It can be done incorrectly. We also have dimmer switches. A dimmer switch is usually a slider that allows you to control the intensity of the lights. A lot of the lights in this house are controlled by dimmer switches. Dimmer switches have evolved over the years, and now when one buys a dimmer switch, it is important to make certain that it is the correct switch to control the type of light being used. In the United States, incandescent lights, that is, lights with a filament, are uncommon. They are being phased out. Most of the lights that we have in this house are LED, light-emitting diode bulbs. There are other types of bulbs, including fluorescent and halogen. If one is going to use a dimmer to control the intensity of the light from an LED bulb, it is important that the switch be appropriate to an LED. Conversely, not all LED bulbs are dimmable. When one buys an LED bulb to be used with a dimmer switch, it is important to make certain at the time of purchase that that bulb is compatible with a dimmer switch. When we bought this house 15 years ago, it had a number of electrical switches that I was not fond of. They were old-fashioned and quirky, and I became irritated trying to use them. We had an outside light that was set up on a timer, and we had another circuit that was controlled by a so-called smart switch. That is, it could interact with a remote controller. In recent weeks, I replaced those quirky, old-fashioned switches with more modern, proper switches. I followed all the safety precautions I talked about. I identified the circuit breaker and turned that circuit off, and I used this device to prove that the circuit was not energized. So what are the downsides of working as a homeowner on electrical circuits like changing a light switch or changing a light socket? Number one, risk of electrocution. If one is working with electrical power, one can make a mistake and that current can come through the body, resulting in injury or death. Risk of electrocution is significant, and the safeguards to prevent that from happening need to be in place. Number two, risk of fire. Electrical energy can result in fire risk. Circuits are usually protected with circuit breakers, but someone working on an electrical circuit can create a risk of fire in the house. It would indeed be false economy to save the expense of a repair cost but burn down the house. Decades ago, circuits were protected by fuses, and a fuse, when overloaded, simply melts and stops transmitting the electricity. The presence of fuses in the home had an effect on the English language. People described the frustration of blowing a fuse, that is, having a fuse melt, and because of that, that circuit went out of service. The homeowner then would have to go down to the basement or to the fuse box and find the burned out fuse and replace it. I can remember that experience that my parents had when I was growing up. Occasionally, they would blow a fuse and have to replace it. Also, blowing a fuse is used as a term metaphorically for someone who reacts strongly. If something happens and someone gets very angry and overreacts, you might say that he or she has blown a fuse. I have been known to use that picturesque metaphor to describe someone's overreaction. The other clear risk for a homeowner who works on electrical circuits is that they could do so and damage something in the house. Their so-called repairs actually results in damage to the household, requiring additional repairs. When it comes to these straightforward electrical repairs in the household, I find myself fairly comfortable. I've replaced a number of switches and a number of light fixtures over the years. How do we get the knowledge to do this? I explained that I had worked construction and I learned from my dad. In the past, it was common for someone to go to the hardware store, buy the supplies, and get some advice from the hardware store owner on how to do these repairs. In the modern era in the United States, a lot of times we don't go to a hardware store, we go to a big box store. A big box store refers to a large retailer, usually a chain. The name of these big box stores may be familiar to you. Costco, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's. There are a lot of these big stores, and they offer lower prices because of their volume. With the development of these retailers, it has become less common for the homeowner to go to the store to acquire the knowledge of how they should do their repairs. As these big box stores developed, other things developed as well. Online retailers like Amazon, as well as online sources of knowledge and information that the homeowner can access to learn how to do these repairs. YouTube is a big player in this arena. If one wants to learn how to do a repair, it is usually fairly easy to find a YouTube video or lots of YouTube videos that explain how to do the repair. I do this all the time. I want to learn from other people. I usually watch more than one video and try to get a picture of the level of expertise of the presenter. Some YouTube videos about home repair are very well done. Others showcase the ignorance of the creator, and the advice in that case should be taken with a grain of salt. That is, if you believe that the presenter doesn't really know much about this topic, perhaps their advice should not be followed. In recent weeks, I changed a number of light switches. I got rid of the old, quirky, strange ones in favor of modern switches that work well. I chose dimmer switches that are compatible with our LED lights. And in one case, I got rid of a dimmer switch in favor of a simple toggle switch. That was for a light in the hallway. And I couldn't understand why I would need a dimmer on that light. In my opinion, the hallway light should either be on or off. It made no sense that I would set it to a dim setting. So for simplicity, I switched out the dimmer switch in favor of a simple toggle. I also identified a light fixture that has halogen bulbs. I've decided to replace that fixture with a more modern LED fixture. I can't just exchange the halogen bulbs for LED bulbs. They're not compatible. So in the next week or so, I will research the various light fixtures that are available. I will remove the one from the ceiling in this room that has halogen bulbs that are not working very well, and I will install a modern fixture. I will follow the safety precautions that I talked about in this episode. I will be very careful with the ladder because I will need to use a step ladder. I will not lean far away from that ladder and risk falling. I will make certain that I have turned off the power to that circuit, and I will check with this device to confirm that the circuit is no longer energized before I start working on it. Additionally, I have two outside light fixtures that are rusted and unsightly. I have picked out new fixtures that I will install when the weather permits it. Rather than buying these from a big box store supplier, I have chosen to order them from an online source. I have some electrical repairs that will be accomplished over the next several weeks in this house. In addition, there are some plumbing repairs that need to be done. In the next video, I will discuss plumbing repairs. What are the repairs that homeowners frequently do on their own, and what might be the repairs that would be better done by a professional? I hope you are subscribed to the Input English channel. If not, be sure to hit that subscribe button. It's right here, and it's free. It really helps this channel to grow. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.